Solomon built the temple, and the walls went up, and the steeples were built, and it was constructed, and it was absolutely amazing. But in my text, it is not the opulence of the building. It is not the architectural design of the temple. It is not the gold materials that are used in the building. It is not the granite floors nor the marble columns that causes them to be in awe. No, all of that was wonderful until God's glory sat down on the building. And when God's glory hit man's work, all of a sudden, all they could see was the glory of God. When God sat down on their efforts, that's what I want God to do. I want him to anoint what I'm working on. I want him to anoint what I'm doing. I want him to sit down on what I'm trying to build. I don't want to build it if he's not going to sit down on it. When God's glory fell down on the temple, all religious order stopped. The priests stopped doing what they were doing. All the Levites were standing there in awe. They were ready to play the instruments that David had created. David was so creative, not only did he play instruments, he made instruments. And the instruments had now outlived him. And now we're seeing the second generation of Levites that are continuing the legacy of the music of David, who has gone on, and yet his songs are still filling the air. When the glory of the Lord fell, it fell on them because they were praising God and they were worshiping God. It didn't fall on them because they had gold. It didn't fall on them because they had columns. It didn't fall on them because they had granite. It fell because they had praise. And when the praises went up, the glory came down. And the glory came down so strong that the priests had to be still and the Levites had to stop because God had taken over the room. His glory had filled up the temple. It had filled every room, every cul-de-sac, every avenue, every closet, every corner was filled with his glory. I pray that right now the glory of God would get in your house. I pray it would get in your living room. I pray it would get in your dining room. I pray it would stand up in your kitchen. I pray it would overflow into your bedroom and get in all of your closets. I pray that the glory would sit on your house so strong that COVID couldn't get near your house because the house was filled. Yes, yeah. The house was filled with glory. Throw your hands up and say, fill it with glory. God's going to fill it with glory. He's going to fill your business with glory. He's going to fill your family with glory. He's going to fill your pockets with glory. Throw your hands up and say, fill it with glory. The glory of the Lord sat down on the house, and it filled all the house. God always fills whatever he forms. He formed the earth and filled it with vegetation. He formed the sea and filled it with fish. He formed the air and filled it with birds. He formed the tabernacle and filled it with furniture. He formed the holies of holies and filled it with glory. He formed man and filled him with breath. Whenever you see God form a thing, he will always fill whatever he forms. What we are looking at in this text is that opiate, that moment, that crystallized, stellar, significant, unforgettable moment when the divine touches the human, when the celestial touches the terrestrial, when that which is above us comes and sits down amongst us, when grace and truth are met together. When mercy and peace have come together, when the holy and the human collide in an exodus of praise so powerful that it crescendos all through the chapter. It was so strong that Solomon got scared he might lose it. I want to talk to some blessed people that are blessed but scared you're going to lose it. He came to God and he said, this is so amazing. What happens if I lose it? What happens if you shut up the heavens and there are no more rain? What happens if it doesn't work anymore? I want to talk to some people that are anxious because the enemy's been telling you you're going to lose everything you got. But the devil is a lie. Solomon said, what happens if you shut up the heavens and there is no more rain and the crops stop and the glory doesn't flow? What happens if it all breaks down? And God gave him a key, said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then slap your neighbor and say, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Heal our land, God. Heal our land. Heal our land, oh God. Heal our land. When the glory came in, the priests lay prostrate. The worshipers collapsed. The people all over Israel were standing in amazement, gazing up at the presence of God, almost in a daze, experiencing the power of God coming from the presence of God. But what they did not see, they saw the glory. They saw the labor. They saw the altar. They saw the building. They saw the pillars. They saw the foundations. They even saw the wailing wall that I stood in front of, rocking back and forth. They saw all that. But they did not know that Solomon's temple was built right where Ornan's threshing floor was. Ornan's threshing floor is what happened in the previous generation. You remember when David had counted the people and God judged him in his sins and God let a plague come upon his people and there was disaster and pestilence and disease everywhere. And David was trying to break the curse that was on the land. And he came to the threshing floor of Ornan. And the threshing floor, you see, is the place where wheat is separated from chaff. It was the threshing floor. It was the place of separation. And Ornan owned the place. And David said, I need this place. I need this place so that I can offer up a sacrifice toward God. And he wants to know, what will it cost? And Ornan offers him, you know, whatever you want to give me, whatever you want to do, however you want to do. He said, oh, David said, no. I will pay the full price. The full price. See, that's the difference between greatness and weakness. Everybody wants it, but not many people want to pay full price. Everybody wants to be acknowledged, but they don't want to pay full price. Everybody wants an opportunity, but they don't want to pay full price. Everybody wants to do something about it, but they can't pay the full price for it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't realize it. They don't know. They don't understand. They don't recognize. How much does it cost? And David paid the full price. Are you willing to pay the full price of faith? Or are you just going to talk the talk? Play the game. Go through the religious colloquialisms. But when your faith comes down to the wire, are you willing to pay full price?